You're listening to episode 130 of the Mad Chatters podcast, March 22nd, 2017.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney Universe. My name's Derek, and joining me today are my fellow Mad Chatters, Matthew.
Howdy.
And Jeremy.
Please let me through!
Ah, yes. This weekend, Disney released a little film you may have heard of. I think it did, you know, okay, at the box office, I guess. Beauty and the Beast. Are we going to talk about it?
I think that was the plan, yes.
Okay, so Matt, you haven't seen it, right?
No.
But Jeremy and I saw it. Do you care? Is this going to be spoiler-free or no?
I mean, if you've seen the animated classic in the last 25 years, you kind of have the gist of the story, and I guess this is a spoiler. It doesn't really veer too far off of that story, so
no, it really doesn't,
you know.
Okay, but if you don't want to know anything about this film, skip forward a little bit, because I want to talk about it all.
Yeah, I okay. Can't believe though they killed her at the end. That was a real shock.
So sad.
Or like she became a beast like him.
I think that was
like Shrek.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. No, it was nothing like Shrek. So I saw that you loved it, Jeremy.
I did, and let me tell you why. First off, I loved it more than I loved Cinderella, and I really liked Cinderella as well. I think this is the best live-action remake thus far. Just a personal opinion. Derek may disagree with that. But I liked it because I felt like they stayed true to the original story, but they weren't held prisoner to it. For instance, there were several times that, like, Beauty and the Beast, the animated one, is my favorite animated film of all the Disney canon. So I have seen it numerous times, and almost to the point of knowing, you know, memorizing the lines. So there were several times that I felt like there was lines from the animated movie that they could have just thrown in there, but they didn't. They kind of kept it, you know, the loosey-goosey as far as that goes. They didn't feel obligated to do so, and I appreciated that because it made the story feel a little more fresh and original. I also thought it didn't feel forced at any point. Some of the added elements felt natural to the story and not like they went there just because they felt like they had to or they wanted to. Particularly one scene that could have gone bad really quickly, but I thought they did it very nicely. And that is the scene in the windmill. I'm just going to leave it at that in case people don't really want to be spoiled.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
I enjoyed the new songs. I thought they were all wonderful. A couple things, it did take me a little bit, not a little bit, but Emma Watson's voice was a little jarring at the beginning. Very talky instead of singy.
And when it was singy, it sounded so heavily produced. Like you could hear the auto-tune mechanics at work.
Okay, you know, but I got over that about halfway through Belle. I got through that, so it was no big deal. I did see at the end during the credits, because I waited for the post-credit scene thinking there was one. There's not, just in case you are wondering. But Carrie Underwood was a vocal consultant, so Yeah, I was surprised by that as well. I was like, what? Yeah, so if you can get over her voice, you know, if that bothers you, well, you know, it didn't really bother me. I kind of had low expectations going in to begin with. The Beast CGI did not bother me as much as I thought it would. I thought it was going to take me a long time to get over it, and it didn't, for whatever reason.
Well, maybe because 90% of the movie is CGI, so, like, by the time you get to the Beast, you're like, well, what else is new?
True, but nothing, I mean, like, nothing in the movie, and again, this is just my opinion, nothing in the movie, to me, felt like it was overtly CGI. I felt like the whole film kind of was very smooth.
Yeah, I think mostly. I think there were a few moments where I was taken out of the moment because I was like, ooh, that CGI. And that's, it should never do that. But overall, I think you're right.
Yeah, see, I never got that.
Okay, good. Good.
I didn't dislike any of the supporting cast, which is usually a big thing in these films. You always have like one character you despise. I was worried about that with Lumiere because he could have very easily gone Jar Jar on us, but he didn't.
No, he didn't. In fact, one of my favorite things was the animation of Lumiere, because he has legs in this movie instead of just a stand, and he did some really cool things with like sliding down rails and jumping on Cogsworth's head and swinging on chandeliers.
Yes, I thought Ian McKellen was a little underused in the film, just a personal opinion. Even to the point that I forgot it was him till the very end, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Ian McKellen, yeah.
Back to Lumiere real quick. I hate to say it, but Matt was kind of right about the French accent.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. As much as I loved that character, there were moments where I was like, oh no.
It's a girl. Yes, yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, that again, those were little things that they kind of were like abrasive at first to me, but I got over them really quickly, and that's just me, I guess. But I love Audra McDonald, love Emma Thompson. They made the film. I'm campaigning for Audra to Best Supporting Actress, an Oscar.
Oh, just my right word. Now. No.
She deserved it that much. She was amazing.
No. It was okay. It was okay.
But you are a film snob. You can go ahead and say it.
Okay, maybe I am a film snob. Okay, so I saw it twice because I was so underwhelmed the first time, and I figured we'd be talking about it, that I wanted to get a different take of it. And I will say, I enjoyed it so much more the second time. But I think the reason is the first time I kept finding myself disappointed by things, but the second time I knew exactly what to expect. Like, okay, this song's coming up. What are they going to do with it? Oh, that's what they did with it. But the second time, I could just kind of live in the moment and say, okay, I know what they did with it. Let's just listen to it. I think for me, the biggest problem with the film was the direction of it. There were so many... Okay, so like if you're going to retell Beauty and the Beast, arguably one of the best animated films of all time, you need to have a reason. Like, you need to have a case, make a case for remaking it. And I feel like Cinderella did that, and I feel like The Jungle Book did that by making it a new story, sort of, you know.
But entirely disagree. Cinderella was... What new part of the story was there in Cinderella?
For instance, at the very beginning of Cinderella, you meet her mother, and she tells her, have courage and be kind. And from that moment, you are, like, drawn into this story, and you want Cinderella to have everything. And then like when the fairy godmother makes her dress and she's like, can we please use my mother's old dress? Like, that ties it back to the whole mother connection. And that's something the animated movie didn't have. Whereas Beauty and the Beast, it was like paint by numbers. Like, okay, now is the Be Our Guest scene. And now is the Something There scene.
See, I entirely disagree. And I would argue that Beauty and the Beast did the exact same thing as Cinderella, as far as they added the element of the mother.
Right, but it wasn't until like 2/3 through, and really the only thing it taught you was how she died. Like, I don't watch Beauty and the Beast in the 90s and think, oh, if I only knew how her mother died.
Well, I didn't watch Cinderella and think that, so...
Anyway, all that to say, I think the biggest problem was the direction, because with this movie, I wanted to be wowed, because when you do a movie... Okay, so think the first number, Belle, was my biggest disappointment, and honestly, from there, I actually enjoyed it a lot more. But Belle is my favorite Disney song of all time. And that number, I was picturing something like the first number from La La Land, which you just sit there and you're amazed the whole time because it's one continuous shot, you know, of the people dancing on the cars. And okay, if the skateboarder doesn't come at the exact right time, you're going to have to reset the whole scene and start over. It was just one of those wow moments. And Belle, to me, felt so flat. Like, there were three different times where... Emma Watson walks backwards to where she's still facing the camera, almost like you're watching a play and they tell the actors, don't turn your back to the audience. That's what it felt like. But it's like, no, she should be able to do whatever she wants and the camera should be there to catch it. And also the scene where he's like, bonjour, good day, how is your family, how is your wife, and then I need 6 eggs. That whole scene, the camera is just sitting there still, and the actors have to, like, make sure they never leave the scene. Like, I just wanted to be amazed and, like, feel like that scene was lived in and that I was part of it. And it was this huge, busy village, but it felt like the musical where, okay, no one go outside the range of the camera because I'm going to stay right here. It just really bothered me.
I will agree with you in that Belle was the weakest song of the whole film, but you can't deny, I mean, the Gaston scene was pretty fun.
Loved that one.
I like how they added the little dance number halfway through.
Yes, yes.
And Be Our Guest was pretty entertaining and had some special elements to it. Belle, you're right. That was probably the weakest number.
And also her, like, I got over it the second time watching it, because Emma Watson is a fine actress. She's just not Belle. Like, Belle is just a warm person that you feel like you want her to be your best friend. And I didn't really get that from Emma Watson, which is why I'm glad I watched it a second time, because I could appreciate it more. But for instance, the song where she runs out on the hill and sings, I Want Adventure in the Great Wide Somewhere. She stood there with her arms by her side and, like, this kind of smirk on her face rather than, like, this longing to be out there. And it drove me crazy. And that's back to the director. It's like, he should say, give me more, Emma, give me more. This is what's going on in your mind right now. And I just wanted to, like, shake her by the shoulders and say, have fun. Like, let yourself go.
Well, anyway. I'm sorry that Beauty and the Beast tortured you so bad.
No. All that to say, I didn't hate it by any means. I liked it. I just, I had a really hard time saying, oh, they had a really good reason for remaking that.
You loved La La Land, correct?
Oh, yeah. And he just won Best Director, so. Anyway, I'm glad I saw it twice. I recommend seeing it twice, honestly. And I saw it the second time at the IMAX 3D, which usually I'm a little turned off by. But it was actually quite wonderful in 3D. It looked good.
And let me throw this out there. Matt, have you seen Whiplash? It's by the same director of La La Land, except I actually think it's a better movie than La La Land, personally.
I do too, actually. I think Whiplash is better.
Yeah. You should see Whiplash.
Whiplash is probably in my top 10 films of all time.
I can't say that I would otherwise, but if the opportunity presents itself, I may watch a minute. See if it holds me.
No, it's really good. I will say Beauty and the Beast, my favorite thing that they did differently from the animated film was developing the love story between Belle and the Beast. I felt like with a longer film, they had more time to kind of draw that out. And yes, like, even with Beast's character, he wasn't like this animal. There was a person inside him, you know, and he was well read and he liked the same things she liked. And when they went out on the bridge and they were looking at the trees covered in ice, like, she was opening his eyes to that and helping him see it in a new way, which you kind of saw was the beginning of their love story. And they did that really well, I felt like.
What did you think about the new songs? Did you enjoy them?
Yeah, I really did.
I thought, what is it, Days in the Sun was great.
So good.
And I thought the Beast song was wonderful as well. Because it reminded me a bit of like a Phantom of the Opera kind of moment. Where you have sort of this character that you're not really supposed to like, but like you said, you see beyond the exterior and you really see his heart in that song.
Absolutely. Oh, another problem I had, Gaston was terrific. The guy who played him, Luke Evans, had a good baritone voice, was a good actor, very charismatic, but his storyline, like in the first half, they almost presented him as a decent guy who just had like a vanity problem, you know? He was cocky, but he actually was willing to go with Maurice to see about this castle. And then out of nowhere, he turned into this murderous, willing to kill an innocent man. And that just felt out of character to me.
Well, he was only going so he could marry the girl. It wasn't going for virtuous reasons.
No, still. I just felt like that was kind of out of nowhere. But
no.
Anyway,
all in all, though, would you say? I mean, so you in your book, Cinderella is still higher.
Yeah, and the Jungle Book is too. But again, watching it a second time, like I thoroughly enjoyed myself from start to finish.
See, I didn't dislike the Jungle Book. It wasn't my favorite. Cinderella, I enjoyed. But I gotta say, from the beginning to the end, I enjoyed Beauty and the Beast.
I'm glad. And everyone I've talked to has just been in love with this film. So I think it's going to continue to do well for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, $170 million they're saying it made at the box office.
That's crazy.
And I think, did you hear the news too about the Mulan remake?
Yeah.
That there will not be any music from Mulan featured in the film. It's a non-musical film.
I'm out.
I think that's a mistake. I don't think that's... Unless you're going to make it like a darker, grittier version of the film, then I might be on board. But
well, then again, Cinderella didn't have music either.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
but Cinderella, whether you have music or not, is still a very whimsical tale. Mulan without music is not really whimsical.
That's true. It's basically like G.I. Jane, but with samurais.
Yeah, now if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to make like a PG-13 R-rated.
I know. I thought that after I said that. You're right.
He's racist. He doesn't know these things.
It's true.
but if you wanted to make like a PG-13 R-rated version of Mulan, I could get on board with that. That could be really gritty and really dark.
And then during the credits, just let Donny Osmond sing "I'll Make a Man Out of You," because it's not Mulan without that.
No, it'll be Lana Del Rey. You know, like "Let's Get Down to Business." You know how like it's like in a minor key. You know,
yes. That's the thing. Oh my gosh, it so is. That's funny. But that will be the trailer. You know it will be.
Or, true to your heart. You must be true to your heart. I got the soundtrack right here, folks.
I like it. All right, well, now that the singing and the reviews are out of the way, let's get some updates on our Munch Madness tournament.
It's time for Munch Madness!
All right, so last week we revealed the Edible 8, and over the last week you've been voting for which restaurants you want to move on to the Flavorful 4, so it's time now to reveal who's moving on. Okay, so what was the first matchup, Jeremy?
Oh, this was a controversial one because the referees were very slanted. It was Ohana versus Sanaa.
Slanted referees. I hear that's what loses many a game.
Yeah, people seem to complain about that on Twitter a lot. It's like, just don't watch basketball then.
Yeah.
That would solve it. But now we got the Battle of the Polynesia versus the Power of...
Africa. I voted for Ohana.
I voted for Ohana as well. Why wouldn't you?
I voted for Sanaa just to be a dingle hopper.
Really?
Well, good for you.
Okay.
Ohana means family. Sanaa means Ebola. I don't know. So.
No, we know it. Didn't we figure out what Sanaa meant?
I think that's the one we don't know. Because Boma is Animal Pen, Jika was Melting Pot. What's Sanaa?
Hold on, let me just do a little Google.
It's nothing at all.
While you look that up, I will tell you that Sanaa did not win. Ohana took 74% of the vote this week, and we'll be moving on.
I'm calling Ohana all the way.
It has done very well in every round, for sure. Yeah.
Sanaa means gallery.
Gallery?
Gallery.
Huh.
Like art.
I got
Very interesting.
Okay.
Okay, so what's our next matchup?
It's Pecos Bill versus Beer Garden. So Pecos Bill, the final counter service hanging on there representing the family on a budget going against
That's true.
You know, because you go in there and you, because of the toppings bar, you just make yourself a little salad based on that.
Potato chip salad.
Yes.
You bring your own chips.
I voted for Beer Garden.
I did too. I mean, I like Pecos Bill just fine, but Beer Garden, come on. It's a buffet. You got the live entertainment.
Noodle gratin.
And that.
I voted for Beer Garden as well. I was very torn about this one, but I voted for Beer Garden, and I think it probably pulled it on out.
Well, this was close, I will say. The winner took 55% of the vote, and it was Pecos Bill.
What?
True story.
What's wrong with people?
Wow. I did not see that coming.
I didn't either, actually.
I didn't either.
Y'all, go to Beer Garden. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, live entertainment, buffet. What am I missing?
Edelweiss. Nobody's singing Edelweiss at Pecos Bill.
Or ringing those bells in percussive succession.
Maybe people really don't like the community seating.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
The final two matchups tonight. I'll be your host for these. Thank you. Is Boma versus Liberty Tree Tavern. I voted for Boma.
I voted for Boma too. It has quickly become one of my favorite restaurants in all of Walt Disney World.
I feel like I couldn't vote for two African restaurants, so I voted for Liberty Tree Tavern.
Interesting.
Got weird voting.
Did you randomize your selection?
Maybe.
Well, the winner of this one, this was also close. In fact, even closer. Nope. Yes, it was closer because the winner took 54% of the vote. It was Boma.
Yeah. Animal pen.
Yep.
That's got zebra domes for the win.
Oh, yeah.
A carving station. I could go on.
Mm-hmm.
Last matchup for the evening of the Edible 8. Number 4, 50s Primetime Cafe versus Be Our Guest. Death to it. I voted for 50s Primetime Cafe.
I also voted for 50s Primetime Cafe.
I also voted for 50s Primetime Cafe.
I'm just glad that we're all in the same boat, except for Jeremy's two random votes tonight. I'm just glad that we're all in the same boat tonight.
Yeah. And for the record, in case we haven't made this clear, like, our votes do count. Of all the votes that are collected throughout the week, like, our three votes do go towards the winner, even though I say, and the listeners picked, yada yada.
Yeah, I clicked on this. I voted like the rest of America did.
Right. 64% of people.
Don't make me mad.
Voted against us.
What? What's the appeal? Is it just new and flashy and Beauty and the Beast?
I mean, it's pretty.
Yeah, the one room is, and even that's more like a mess hall than anything.
Those tables are really close together.
Yeah.
I felt like we were dining with the mom and the daughter beside us. Yeah.
I mean, I love the window and the snow and the landscape and all that, but other than that, the room, it just is, it feels like a big cafeteria.
I will say, though, 64%, that's the smallest percentage it has won by since the competition started.
All right.
So maybe.
Listen, if we come down to this and it is Ohana versus Be Our Guest.
It could be. Could be.
Animal Pen.
Yeah, Animal Pen is in the running as
Animal
well.
Animal Pen could knock out the Beast.
So what's the flavorful for?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It is Ohana, Pecos Bill, Boma, and Be Our Guest.
Ooh.
What a wide variety of things, though.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I like it. It should be that way. It's appropriate.
Who did... What was the upset for Columbia Harbor House? Because I remember we thought it would go far, but it was upset by something.
I think 50s Primetime.
Okay.
Or maybe it was Be Our Guest. It was one of those two.
Be Our Guest.
I didn't expect Pecos Bill to go this far.
Yeah, of all the quick service, I guess it was just...
So pick your random college team whom you did not expect to go this far and plug them in for an illustration at this point,
if
you like.
There you go. It all depends, you know, on which bracket you end up in, really. But because if Columbia Harbor House had been in that slot, maybe it would be in the Flavorful Four.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yep. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, go to madchatters.net/munchmadness, place your votes, and next week we will announce which restaurants are in the championship.
Nom, 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 nom.
Cheddar host, Mad Cheddar Derek!
Thank you so much, Steve, for that wonderful introduction. I've got a game for you today called Disney Before and After. This is actually basically round two of the same game that Jeremy did about a year ago. I'll remind you of the rules. So most of his, I think, were movie-related. This is going to be really anything Disney related, mostly the films and Walt Disney World, but there are a few other Disney related things thrown in there, and it'll be a mashup of two different Disney related things, and the last word of the first answer will be the first word of the second answer, and the clues will be kind of an explanation of what this thing would be if this mashup really existed. So for instance, here's an example. A futuristic animated film that follows Jim Hawkins as he explores a Disney Springs restaurant themed to classic films and famous celebrities.
What is Treasure Planet Hollywood?
Ding, ding, ding. That's it. So you guys understand?
We've done this before.
If you were listening,
I said that.
Oh, no, I wasn't listening.
Pray a Trentron.
I'm also on some cold medicine, so if I get loopy...
Oh, Jeremy's got this one in the bag.
Yeah.
Okay, so gentlemen, I've got a number between 1 and 10. Matt?
4.
5.
Okay, it was 4. So Matt was really, really close. So Matt, would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay. And
do I have to ask it with a question like that?
No, you do not.
Okay.
And as we've done before, if the person misses it, the other person will get a chance to steal. So the first clue is a film about a young princess who finds herself trapped in the enchanted castle of a cursed prince with whom she might just fall in love if she ever wakes up.
The last word is the first word of the second.
Yes, that's correct.
And they're in order, right? The first clue and the second clue.
Not necessarily, no. It's a mashup.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Sleeping Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, that is correct. Jeremy, we come to you. A song sung by a young mermaid who longs to be among the shoppers at Disney Springs' largest store.
Part of your world of Disney.
That is correct. Very good.
Disney Springs factors heavily into this for you.
Well, for those two, yeah. Matt, an attraction in which you board a pirate ship and fly among the birds, all while learning interesting facts about them.
I guess there's no issue here. Peter Pan's Flights of Wonder.
Yeah, I guess I took some liberties with the plural there, but
there's only one Peter Pan's flight.
That's true. And there's one too many Flights of Wonder.
I think that's Disney heterodoxy, but I will accept it.
Okay. Back to you, Jeremy. An a cappella group who serenades guests
I hate that word.
I hate that word so much. Okay. An a cappella group who serenades guests as... Why can't I say that word? Should I just say guest?
Guest? Yeah, sure.
Guest?
Guest.
Guest.
Yes.
Guest. Yes. Guest. An a cappella group who serenades guests as they feast on a Thanksgiving-style meal inside a colonial inn.
Say that again?
You're going to make me say that word again. Yes. An a cappella group who serenades guests as they feast on a Thanksgiving-style meal inside a colonial inn.
Okay, I was confused for half a second. Voices of Liberty Tree Tavern.
That is correct. Matthew, we're back to you. A song in which Jiminy Cricket promises that when you take a flight with C-3PO, anything your heart desires will come true.
When you wish upon a star tours.
Yes, that's correct. Jeremy, a circular ride in which guests climb aboard ornate horses and watch audio animatronics talk about how technology has advanced throughout the decades.
Oh, dang it. I can never remember the name of this goofy thing exactly. I always want to say Prince Charles, but that's not right.
He's a wanker.
Prince Phillips. No. Royal Carousel. Prince. Oh, what is the official name? You want the official name, right? You're not going to give me any leeway.
It depends on if Matt can give a more accurate answer than yours.
Okay. Prince Charming's Royal Carousel of Progress.
Matt, would you like to maybe steal it?
Prince Charming's Regal Carousel of Progress.
It's Prince Charming Regal Carousel, but yeah, I'll give you the point for that. By a technicality.
Shh-a-poopy.
All right, Matt, back to you. An animated film that follows the adventures of the villainous Prospector from Toy Story 2 and his mythical friend, Elliot.
These are funny. Stinky Pete's Dragon.
Yes, I want to see that movie. Jeremy, a song in which Simba declares his desire to be ruler of Sugar Rush.
Oh, I just can't wait to be King Candy.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, that wasn't terrible.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Matt, a classic boat ride that allows you to experience the food and cultures of 11 nations, all while being serenaded by the children who live there.
Oh, that is a mashup there. It's a Small World Showcase.
Yes, very good. Jeremy, a song about the joys of spending a day with Mary Poppins, visiting Father Christmas and other seasonal storytellers.
Jolly Holiday Around the World.
Yeah. I gave you each one of those plural weird ones.
Yeah.
Holidays around the world. Matt, before you board a rocket ship and journey throughout the cosmos and utter darkness on this attraction, Gary Sinise explains the importance of staying safe and working as a team.
Mission Space Mountain.
Yes.
Or Mission Space Mountain.
Yes, that too. Jeremy, a song that invites you to tie a napkin around your neck and help address customer questions at the front of Magic Kingdom.
Be our guest relations?
Yes.
Oh, man. I was hoping you'd say services.
Oh, tricky.
You didn't.
Matt, a musical 3D film featuring all of your favorite Disney characters as they explain the benefits of having your room key, park ticket, and credit card on your wrist.
Good lord. This could be weird, one way or the other. Mickey's Philhar Magic Band?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Jeremy, a 45-minute attraction in which a celebrity talk show host tells you about their inner workings of attractions like Jungle Cruise and the magic carpets of Aladdin.
Say that again?
A 45-minute attraction in which a celebrity talk show host tells you about the inner workings of attractions like Jungle Cruise and the magic carpets of Aladdin.
Ellen's Energy Adventureland?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. You kind of threw me with the...
These little programs, the sound is like there's a program, like there's a... Like a tour or
that's what thing. I was like, what kind of backstage tour is Adventureland? But,
okay, I'm tracking now.
Okay, we're overthinking it too much.
We're holding on.
Matt, a film that follows the Muppets' resident daredevil as he helps solve crimes for rodents at his home on Baker Street.
Good Lord. You say it again?
A film that follows the Muppets' resident daredevil as he helps solve crimes for rodents at his home on Baker Street.
Is there a time limit?
There should be.
One more time.
Okay. And I'll give you 5 seconds when I'm done.
You won't.
I make the rules here. A film that follows the Muppets' resident daredevil as he helps solve crimes for rodents at his home on Baker Street.
A film that follows the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't. The last word of the previous one is not going to be an article. The Great Mouse Detective Gonzo? What in the world?
Okay.
Actually, the answer, since I get to steal...
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Is Gonzo the Great Mouse Detective?
Yes, he also goes by Gonzo the Great. I'm tempted to give that to Matt just because he had...
No!
I'm not going to. But technically, he had all the words right. Just my answer was confusing. But since you technically got it right, you get the point.
The great mouse detective.
Right. Okay, so that actually shared two words, if you count the article. Okay, back to Jeremy. Journey by raft across the rivers of America to visit this Adventureland-themed sunglass hut.
Oh, crap. I can...
This got deep fast. I was about to make fun of it, but you got in there.
Okay.
Tom Sawyer Island of Morado? Is that what it's called?
It is not. Matt, would you like to steal?
Tom Sawyer Island Oasis.
It's Tom Sawyer Island Supply.
Oh, Island Supply. I got closer.
You did.
No one cares about that piece of crap anyways, so
it's so expensive. I walked in one time. I mean, it's a sunglass hut, obviously, but I was like, I'm good, thank you though. But they're all super helpful. Okay, back to you, Matt. Enjoy the fun pools and fast slides of Walt Disney World's first water park as you listen to a medley of country ditties sung by audio animatronic animals.
River Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of easy.
A River Country Bear Jamboree.
I'd go see that.
I would too. I'd ride that.
All right, Jeremy. Magic Kingdom's daytime parade featuring topiaries, a tea garden, and a butterfly house.
Well, these are terrible.
Topiaries what?
A tea garden and a butterfly house.
Topiary buttocks.
Festival of Fantasy Land?
No, that's incorrect.
That was great, though. Land?
Matt, do you have a steal?
The Epcot Flower and Garden Festival of Fantasy Parade.
That is correct.
Good night. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Epcot International Flower and Garden.
I thought about international.
No, I actually didn't even have Epcot and International written down, so that's why I gave it to you.
Formal protest.
In these last four, instead of there being like an answer and then the word shares a word with the next answer, it's kind of just one answer with an extra word sandwiched in the middle. So I think you'll get it with this first one, but the last four are all like this. It doesn't quite follow the same format as the ones we've done before. Okay, so who are we to? Matt? Yeah.
Yeah.
An animated film about one of Walt Disney's most trusted Imagineers and her incredible adventures with a talking caterpillar, a disappearing cat, and a murderous queen.
That's great. Alice Davis in Wonderland.
That is correct.
That'd make a great documentary.
Jeremy, an animated film in which Cinderella's stepmother shares a plate of spaghetti with her true love.
Lady Tremaine and the Tramp.
Yes, that's great.
In a world.
Matt, a boat ride through the greenhouses of Radiator Springs that shows you the growing techniques of the very produce used by Flo's V8 Cafe.
Mm-mm. Living with the Cars Land?
You guys are too good at this. The only ones you've missed have been technicalities. Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. Okay, and Jeremy, the final one. A film about a young girl from New Orleans who is wooed by a creature's rendition of the Rainbow Connection and ends up cursed after the two share a kiss.
Princess and the Kermit the Frog? Princess and Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, the princess and Kermit the Frog. Yeah. All right, that's it. The winner by a score of 12-9 is Matthew.
I didn't feel like I missed that many, but okay.
I had two more that I thought might be too hard. Do you guys want to take a stab at them?
Yes. Yeah,
I do.
A walkthrough tour of costumes and props from The Empire Strikes Back, located inside the DVC wing of Disney's Contemporary Resort.
Holy crap.
I'm sorry, one more time.
A walkthrough tour of costumes and props from The Empire Strikes Back, located inside the DVC wing of Disney's Contemporary Resort.
All right, so what's the walkthrough at?
Oh, I know. I know.
Okay, go ahead.
Launch Bay Lake Tower.
Yeah, Star Wars Launch Bay Lake Tower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the last one, a theater in the round style attraction in which a mischievous alien makes trouble for twins Tony and Tia as they try to use their psychic powers to take guests on a virtual trip to their home planet.
Oh, I don't even know what half is of that meant.
Is that Escape from Witch Mountain?
Yes!
Stitch's Great Escape from Witch Mountain.
Yeah, Escape to Witch... Yeah, Stitch's Great Escape to Witch Mountain. Very good. I used to love that movie.
I claimed that one answer as points.
So did I claim the other one?
Yeah,
you would. All right, well, that wraps up another Mad Chatter game.
Congratulations, Matthew! You have won another Mad Chatter game! Join us next time. Same Mad Chatter podcast, same Mad Chatter Thank you.
something is not appreciated for the fine specimen that it is. It's often attributed to me. That wasn't a joke. But it's also attributed to many things at Walt Disney World, or many parts of things at Walt Disney World. So on today's show, we want to go around and talk about some of the underrated experiences, underrated attractions, underrated restaurants, underrated things at Walt Disney World. Perhaps things that are just not appreciated enough. So let's go ahead and begin at the Magic Kingdom. As you walk onto Main Street USA, is there anything that you find to be underrated?
The Magic, the Walt Disney World Railroad, is not just a means of conveyance around the park or transportation to the other lands. It is a wonderfully relaxing, rejuvenating trip around the Magic Kingdom that you can just stay on all day long if you like.
All day long.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful tribute to Walt himself.
True. I do wish that the Florida train was as good as the Disneyland train. They do have a better train than we do as far as like the experience goes.
Yeah.
I mean, half the trip is like backwoods. But I would agree that it needs to be, like, the fact that it's present at Walt Disney World needs to be appreciated more, because it would be just, it would be such a huge loss to not have that there. Like, even if guests didn't ride it, they would notice if it wasn't there.
Agreed. And even at Disneyland, though, I mean, this is true at Magic Kingdom as well, but it's a little different because Magic Kingdom is so isolated from the outside world as it is. But especially at Disneyland, how, I mean, just like 20 feet away is the traffic, but you don't feel like traffic is right there, you know, like on a busy street. You feel like you're very much in the middle of nowhere as well.
Yeah. For my first pick, if it's okay, I'm going to take us over to Frontierland. And this might surprise you, but this is something that I underrated for years, and only recently have come to love and appreciate Country Bear Jamboree.
I mean, listen, wake the neighbors and call the kids, because that is amazing that Derek Lewis has said that.
The first time I saw it was with you and was with my parents. And I remember being kind of like, this is kind of lame. And then as soon as it was over, Mom leaned over and said, never again. Well, little does she know, I'm taking her in June. No, I'm just kidding.
They don't get to go again at all. They need to stay home.
Oh, no. I think it's one of those things that I think will just have to grow on some people. Like, that's all there is to it. Because you don't know the tone of it until you're halfway through it. And then you're like, oh, okay, I see what they're trying to do. But honestly, last time I saw it, people in the crowd were laughing out loud to so many lines that made me realize, oh, that is funny. Like, that's tongue-in-cheek. They're not trying to take themselves seriously. That's funny stuff. And the animatronics are impressive. Like, you don't think about that because it feels so Chuck E. Cheese-ish. But then when you stop to think about it, you're like, there is a lot going on in this show, what with the antler heads on the side and antler heads. Heads with antlers.
Yeah, we're so sporty.
Yeah. Anyway, it really is from start to finish a great show that really does bring a lot of laughs if you take it for what it is.
I like it as well because it doesn't move slowly. It's one of those attractions that, yeah, if you don't like something, just hang on. It's going to be over in 30 seconds.
That's true. It's like 11, 12 minutes long, maybe.
Yeah, you know, and every act is really quick. It's not like one bear sits there and hogs most of the time.
Nope. Good stuff.
Definitely. My underrated, this is a little controversial, but I'm going to say it anyways. My underrated is a part of an attraction, and that is the second queue waiting area of Stitch's Great Escape. I feel like the first entrance is, or the first thing with the monitors, you know, that's throwaway. But when you enter that second part of the queue where the robot is there and gives you kind of the instructions and the backstory, and the alien appears.
Mm-hmm. It's the scene with Richard Kind.
Yes. I think that's a really kind of fun cue. And if the attraction held up, that queue would be more appreciated than what it
I
was.
Will see you that pre-show and raise you Alien Encounter, Sir, XS Tech, and Tim Curry. And I think you'll understand why that part of the show does not redeem itself at all.
Well, I mean, I never got to experience Alien Encounter, and I would have loved to experience it with Tim Curry because I think he's great. But for what it is, without having that presupposition...
I mean, it's the same figure. They just put a stupid-looking bulletproof vest on.
That's right.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's like you don't even recognize him anymore. Mm. That vest on.
It's kind of cool because isn't that where, like, the alien appears all of a sudden in the tube or whatever that they ship in?
Yeah, not Stitch, but the other alien, yeah.
The other alien, yeah. Because it's
formerly
like
known as Skippy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun little pre-show.
I agree. It's impressive.
If I could just walk straight through to the end from there, I would be happy.
That'd be great. But alas.
I'd be like, do y'all have a chicken line like they do at Tower of Terror?
Someone just told me that you smell chili dog on this thing. I just can't. I'm sick right now.
I can't do that. I'll vomit. It makes me want to vomit all over myself.
My dying grandmother had chili right before she passed, and it just makes me too many memories.
Do I get more? Or are we done with Mandy? It's like one each.
No, more.
I'm going to rob Jeremy's out from under him, I think, and that I'm going to go and go to the Enchanted Tiki Room.
I had a feeling you would.
This gets the nap rating from a lot of people. Snore fest, nap fest, whatever you want to call it. And people generally sit through it if you take first timers, and they generally go through and don't quite know what to make of it. And I understand that to an extent. But for that reason, it's underrated because one does not understand the history and the significance behind that attraction and the connection to Walt and animatronics and every special effects thing that we even have today, then, you know.
I was listening to a podcast with Leonard Maltin the other day. And, of course, Leonard Maltin, who we honored because of his death a couple of weeks ago, who's still alive.
We memorialized him.
Very much alive. But he made the comment. He said, you know, there's some films that are timeless in that you could sit anybody down at any time, put the movie in, and without any context at all, they will like the movie. For instance, he says, The Wizard of Oz is that way. It doesn't matter how old, what year, you just pop it in and it's enjoyable. He said, but then there are films that need context. They need explaining in order to be appreciated. And his example for that was Citizen Kane. I think attractions go the same way. There are certain attractions that anybody can ride at any time and it's enjoyable. And then there are certain attractions that need context. You need to understand why they are important or what makes them so great. And Enchanted Tiki Room is one of those. Hmm.
Can I just say real quick, that reminded me of another thing I thought while watching Beauty and the Beast. I was sitting there thinking, I think people would enjoy this if they'd never seen the animated film, but how much of this are people enjoying just because it's nostalgia? Like, oh, I love Be Our Guest and that song's next. Oh, good, they kept it true to the original. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the hardest movie to review when you know everything that's coming. It's just, it was so hard for me to decide how I felt about it. But anyway, that being said, yeah, you're totally right about Tiki Room. Because I think you and I both, when we experienced it the first time, we're like, what the heck did we just see?
Well, and our first time was under new management. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So Matt was like, yeah, don't ask me. I don't know what you saw either. Another one on my list was something that I just experienced for the first time this year, Tom Sawyer Island. People had kind of, like, either they weren't talking about it, or when they did, they were like, yeah, it's don't bother with it. Except Matt. Like, I think, Matt, you pretty much had positive things to say. I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I don't think I would have enjoyed it if I'd gone on a 90-degree day. But when I went in the 70s, those caves were actually really fun to explore. Like, they were very dark, and you could hear the wind blowing. You got some great views of Big Thunder Mountain and Haunted Mansion. It was a really neat area to explore. And I can't believe more people don't talk about it.
Yeah, it is a nice area. I still haven't been over there, but it's on my list to do next time. No, I see people's pictures, and it does make me want to go over there. And that's been a recent thing, because in the past, I just have never had a desire to go over there at all. Mm-hmm. But you guys have sold me on it, so I'm going to check it out.
You of all people would love it.
I think so, too. And it seriously took maybe 20 minutes out of my day. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Next thing on mine is the souvenir shop in Storybook Circus.
Oh, yeah.
I just love the elaborate theming of Storybook Circus in general, particularly, though, in, what is it, Big Top Souvenirs? Is that the name of it?
That's it.
I just think it's just so well done and charming as well. And it goes back, and it hits a nostalgic level for me. It goes back to watching Dumbo Circus on Disney Channel when I was a child, which is an incredible show that needs to be released either on DVD or Netflix or something, because I'm dying to see it again.
Are you afraid that it won't hold up, though?
No, it'll... I mean, even if it doesn't, I'd never admit it, so it's fine. No, I love that show. That and Welcome to Pooh Corner. I mean, I know what they are. They're 80s television shows, and if you watch them for the first time in 2017, yeah, they're probably going to be terrible. But if you have some connection to them, as I do, then, yeah, it's going to take me back to being 3 years old watching them. But anyways, for whatever reason, Storybook Circus, probably because the Dumbo attraction is there, just instantly takes me to that television show. And if they could somehow bring that back and incorporate that into Storybook Circus, it would be wonderful.
As someone who's never seen Dumbo's, what's it called? Dumbo Circus?
Dumbo Circus. Yeah. Dumbo Circus.
Dumbo's Flying Circus, yeah. As someone who's never seen that, I still totally support that underrated experience. It's a great little shop. Well, actually, it's a great big shop. But, and it's got the caramel popcorn and the good treats and the, of course, candy apples. But yeah, it's I have to stop there every time I go to Magic Kingdom.
Well, Dumbo was my favorite movie as well as a child, animated film. I think I've told the story, but I would get that. There was a little movie store that my dad and mom would go to that was close to my grandmother's house, and kids' movies were free as long as you rented a PG
movie.
Or I didn't want to say adult movie because. But anyways, so I would always get Dumbo, and so Dumbo has a special place in my heart as it is. And in that shop, particularly, you can find some fun Dumbo merchandise. Sometimes, at least, I have. So, Big Top.
I think time would fail to talk about things that are underrated, and then you experience them at the right time and the right place with the right people, and it makes all the difference in the world. But those aren't ones that I would call underrated. Like,
right.
That is, you have to have all these conditions for it to be enjoyable. So I think my list is done. I mean, with the ones you all threw in, I think I'm done Magic Kingdom with the underrated list.
Yeah, I kind of agree. The only one that I had listed for Magic Kingdom, the only one left was the new stage show during the day, Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair. I think it's something that you could easily just kind of walk by, you know, as we probably do most of the time, like, oh, that's going on again. And yeah, sure, I hate that they have built a stage in front of the castle for stuff like this. But honestly, I really enjoy this show, and I've stopped on numerous occasions to watch from where I caught it until the end, because I love that it showcases Tiana and Naveen. And they really have a great musical moment with, like, tambourines, and Goofy comes out, and Lewis comes out. And I love that Tangled gets a whole section with the ruffians, and they sing I've Got a Dream. You know, which usually when you see Tangled in the parks, they're playing I See the Light, which is a great song. But this, it just gives it something different. Now, of course, they have to have Frozen, and that part I'm kind of like, ugh, why? But I really like this show, and I love that Mickey and Minnie get new costumes, like Fantasy Fair type Renaissance costumes. I think it's a well done show, and I would encourage people to check it out, even though it's probably not even on your radar.
All right, let's jump on over now to Epcot and
Future
Matt,
World.
Why don't you start? Okay, we'll start Future World.
Now, I was just gonna say,
Future World.
Really?
In general?
I think Future World is adequately rated.
It's adequately... It's appropriately rated.
Appropriately rated.
I will go... I want to go first in Future World.
Okay,
go. And I'm going to go Living with the Land. Underrated. You get classic dark ride elements. I don't know what it is lately, but that smell in the rainforest area, that clean, crisp Disney water smell, is like magnified in there recently. And it's wonderful.
It's hitting all your pirate senses right there, huh?
Yeah, it really is. Well, it's a number of things, really. It's like a fine wine. There's some pirates in there. And there's an aftertaste of the rotating lounge at the Opryland Hotel that we used to go and sit at sometimes.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of nostalgia factoring in there. It's got an oaky, nostalgic finish.
It lingers on the palate.
Yeah. Oh, precious memories, how they linger.
Maybe they pipe that in so you don't smell the fish.
Why do I smell fish?
You go in that room where all the fish are in their tanks.
Yeah, but that's way outside on the other part of it.
There were some stank fish.
Good lord, they must be like dead and like rotten piled up out there. No, I love the greenhouses. And I like the whole attraction. I even like some of the hokey parts that are still there from like 82, like straight up. The little finale diorama thing with all the people.
It's so bad.
And but you know something so I noticed yesterday? When you go into that one section that has like the three screens and it's talking about, you know, talking about in Japan, we're learning to grind up our trash and use it for fertilizer or whatever it is. And it's like there's three screens, but that room is so massive.
It is.
You ever notice like the floor space in there is so
huge? It's like a stage and they've got little fake props set up, like the little, the crates. Yeah. They should have live actors do stuff.
And the little song there, da 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 bum, bum, da 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 da.
Yeah, that is it. It's funny because a lot more people go to that attraction ever since Epcot has started doing the tiers for Fast Pass.
Yes.
Because people are like, why not get a Fast Pass for that? I don't know what it is, but that's a good pick. I didn't have anything from Future World, to be honest.
Ellen's Energy Adventure?
Yeah.
Very much... An underrated attraction.
It gets the shaft. It gets the shaft. I have 45 minutes.
I really do like it. I mean, I still enjoy it, honestly, but it's hard for me to call it underrated.
Just the dinosaur scene alone.
Yeah, like just that one thing. When you turn and the curtain opens, oh, we're going somewhere. That's kind of like mind-blowing to me.
Okay.
And I shared a blog with Derek and Matt, and I'm hoping that we can get this lady on the show to talk about this, but she hosted her anniversary dinner in Ellen's Energy Adventure. In that scene, they had the table set up, the dinosaurs firing. I mean, come on, that's amazing. If I could just, because every time I go through there, all I want to do is stop and like just sit and enjoy it. But
it's like Jurassic Park when they go by and they're like, wait, we want to stop. And then they break the ride so they can stop. You should do that.
I should break Ellen's Energy Adventure. Yeah. That's good. Anyways, Ellen's Energy Adventure. And again, it's one of those, if you take a first timer on there, they're probably going to be like, what? But in the context of understanding, hey, this is from 1996, and, you know, it's enjoyable because it's Bill Nye and Jamie Lee Curtis. And look, there's Kramer for some unknown reason. And, you know, it's fun. It's a fun ride.
Yeah, I actually have a feeling my mom will really like that attraction.
Listen, I have the attraction ripped from YouTube. Somebody did a ride through and I ripped the audio and put it on my phone so I can listen to it in the car.
Stupid Judy. Stupid energy. Mm-mm.
Oh, I don't care about really all that stuff. It's just the dinosaur part. You could plug in. I mean, it could be like the cast of La La Land, and I would love it because of the dinosaurs. I don't care.
Or revamp it with Neil deGrasse Tyson, like I've said. But
yeah, that guy too.
Anyways, Ellen's Energy Adventure, very, very enjoyable.
Well, you know, Bill Nye has a new show coming out on Netflix.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
I'm just saying, it's time maybe to revamp Ellen's Energy Adventure and get people interested again.
Yeah, I mean, Ellen, as I've said, very popular. Bill Nye, almost as popular as he was in the 90s with Bill Nye the Science Guy.
With our age, people.
Bill, but he's getting a new show. I mean, people will know him again. And for Neil deGrasse Tyson. Well, who cares about children? Neil deGrasse, children will like what I tell children to like.
Well, that was the appeal in 96, was children with Bill Nye.
I assume that his new show will be catered to children. Like, it'll be just a revamp of his
disillusioned 30-something-year-olds if it's the current Bill Nye.
First off, who are you calling disillusioned? But whatever.
Our generation.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is very popular and fun with young people.
Your demographics are throwing me off tonight. Neil deGrasse Tyson is popular with young people?
Yeah, he's got Star Talk.
Define young.
Well, of all the scientists in the world, he seems to be relatable.
The hippest.
Hippest, yes.
I wouldn't even say he's hip, but he's definitely... he's got
that.
We
should just go straight up, like Stephen Hawking. Straight up.
Yeah, okay.
Don't cater to the masses.
Neil deGrasse Tyson has that Chris Hardwick appeal, where he's like nerdy cool.
Yeah. Well, back to Epcot. The first thing I thought of was actually a restaurant. Tangerine Cafe is almost always empty when I walk by it. And that's a legit good quick service restaurant with good options, many options. I mean, I've only technically eaten there twice, but both things
I've been there three times, and I will lend my voice to your selection.
There you go. There are lots of quick service.
And the baklava alone.
Oh, yeah. See, there you go. I didn't even think of that. But
oh, yeah.
I think most of the quick service places are going to be stuff that you could probably get near you. You know, like Chinese takeout. But I think Tangerine Cafe offers a different experience for a good price.
It is good.
Good stuff.
Wonderful yes. Music. On that note, let me be bold and say the Liberty Inn. We ate there last night with some friends of ours, one of which is less than adventurous. Let's say it that way. And we didn't want to have to go all the way back over to Sunshine Season, so we went to Liberty Inn. And I haven't been there probably in... It's probably been 6 years since I've been there. And actually, no, it doesn't matter. It's been a long time. They've changed the menu since then, suffice it to say.
I'm going to need an exact date when you were last there.
I think it was August of 2014, I think. Yes. Yes, it was.
Wait. Okay, that checks out. Go ahead.
We're fact-checking now. No, the other people, Jessica and our two friends, and I think even their kids, well, they had some chicken nuggets. Everybody but me got the cheeseburger, which is like an all-American Angus, like, burger with bacon and cheese and stuff. And it was... This was not just the standard Disney World burger. It was a nice, thick, juicy-looking... patty on there and some really good bacon. Jessica didn't want her bacon. She gave it to me. And it was like high quality. I was like, this is pretty good. The big old pickle spear like stuck on top. It was just a little different, a little done up. I ventured out into the Twilight Zone and got the Surf and Turf, which is a quick service New York strip steak and four little shrimp. And you know, it wasn't terrible. For a quick service New York strip, it was actually cooked like medium well. And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like super juicy and fatty like something you get at Le Cellier, but it had a garlic butter on top and four little fried shrimp, some steamed broccoli and some fries, and I thought it was above adequate.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm just saying it is underrated in that way. So if you're over there and you don't want to eat something adventurous, or you're with picky eaters, then you know, don't be ashamed to go in there. It's not terrible.
Okay. I mean, honestly, that really is higher praise than we've ever given it on this show, so.
Yeah.
My underrated experience, first off at Epcot, has got to be O Canada.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The film. Very easy to pass this up. The only, if you didn't know it was there, the only thing that's going to tell you it's there is there's a little sign out front. But again, even that's very easy to pass up. But this film is so delightful and so entertaining. I dare you not to laugh.
Uh-huh. It's funny because you could easily walk by that sign and think it's a joke because it's like, now playing Martin Short. And I could see people being like, oh, that's funny because he's Canadian. But like, no, he really is playing back there. If you walk back far enough, there's a movie.
What did you just say about it'll make you laugh? What was your little thing you said before? Were you making a bet?
I said I dare you not to laugh.
Yeah, well, I dare you not to actually want to go to Canada, which is, you know, an achievement in itself.
Totally. That is true. I watched that film, and it is a very beautiful country.
Yeah. Like, oh, if I could find that one place and also go to the 10 other places, I would make a trip out of it, but that's impossible.
And let us not forget, it has given us one of the best original songs in Walt Disney World.
That is
Canada.
True. Sung by season 3 winner of Canadian Idol. I don't know her name, but she sings it.
Eva Avila.
Well, oh, wow. She can eat a Cheeto because the original is way better.
No, it's not. I've heard the original.
Yes, it is. It's got the two people, a little duet. There's harmony. Oh, it's great.
Nah, I'll take the current version. And having been to Canada, let me just say, Matt's opinion does not represent the entire show. I find it to be a beautiful country with beautiful people. And to our Canadian listeners...
Yes, I agree with you. I just don't want to go there.
So how about that?
How about
I have
that?
Family there, too. Yay. So was that...
No, it's a great show. And honestly, just going back there allows you to see more of the terrific rock work and waterfalls that we have mentioned many times on this
Maybe
show.
Maybe one of the best on Walt Disney World property.
Yeah. Staying in World Showcase, this is such a minor thing, but I was really impressed with them last time I saw them. It's one of the live acts. They're in the UK pavilion. They're called Quickstep, I believe. And it's a 4-member band that honestly reminded me of Mumford & Sons without a vocalist. So you've got the violinist and then the guy with the guitar. Ooh, I don't even know the other two instruments now. I'm sure one was percussion. But they played like kind of like ditties, I guess you might call them. They were wonderful. They were very talented, but also they play the kind of music that you just want to stop and listen to because it's fun and fast-paced and get your toe tapping.
Is it Celtic?
It sort of is Celtic. It has that feel, yeah.
But is there like rock involved too?
No, it's all acoustic Celtic type stuff.
So like reels. Like it's just kind of like... That's a reel, yeah.
Yeah. We love them. Like I even went up to them as they walked away and I was like, you guys are great. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Just thank you for existing.
Yes, thank you for sharing this moment with me.
I'm going to stay in the UK as well and talk about the tea garden that is there for part of the year. Oh my gosh. In fact, within the last month, I saw somebody tweet something about that it's back and you can take the little $15 tour as well. And my heart literally hit the floor. It hurt that bad that I was not able to be there to experience the tea garden because it's so good.
Isn't it? I mean, it's like 20 square feet.
Yes, but it's still enjoyable and fun and you learn things.
Okay, so when I go to the Flower and Garden Festival, you're saying it's worth the $15 to do this?
Well, that's the tour. Now, if you want to have a little guide that takes you through the tea garden and talks to you about how they make tea, which I would find fascinating, then yes, it's probably worth the $15.
They read the signs for you.
Yeah.
No, because I think they do maybe a little taste testing and that kind of thing. But if you're not interested in taking the tour, then you can just walk through it and enjoy the ambiance and the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay for the tour, too, if it really is less than $20.
Ooh, will this be your first Walt Disney World tour?
Yeah, I guess it will be.
That's sad.
because the rest are over $100.
This will be it.
This will be the one. The Living with the Land tour is what, like $25?
The Tea Garden.
Oh, I think you're right. Behind the Seeds.
The Tea Garden is like the cheap whore of the Disney tours.
Stop talking about my love like that.
$15. It'll be my first.
Well, I mean, my expectations will be equivalent to the amount of money I'm paying. Like, I'm not expecting the $100 tour for $15.
I could see, like, $5. But Disney's not going to do that.
No.
Why must you all poo-poo in my tea garden?
I'm not. I'm excited about it.
It's fun to make fun of.
I will periscope the entire thing.
That would be amazing.
Does that still exist? People just still do that stuff?
I don't know. I turned off the notifications.
I noticed the other day at the Seas with Nemo and Friends, which is not underrated, in the gift store at the end, they actually sell dingle hoppers.
Oh,
like,
no.
Fake hairbrushes from The Little Mermaid, and they're like plastic with little rubbery bristles on it.
A hairbrush or a fork?
What does he call a dingle harper? Dingle hopper.
A dingle hopper is the giant fork that she uses to brush her hair.
So what's the brush?
I don't think there is a brush. She uses the fork to brush her hair. And
well,
he calls it a dingle.
This is a brush. Hopper. It's like a back scratcher.
Uh-uh.
I just think it's funny, like, they're selling a fake version of a real thing for more expensive than any of the real thing I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
It's $15.
And that's not even Little Mermaid. Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Well, they have a Little Mermaid section for the girls over, like, stuffed in the corner.
Because it's water.
It's water, and she lives there in the water.
I get it.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah. The only other thing I listed, and you guys might disagree that it's underrated, I put Grand Fiesta Tour on my list, and I know people ride it because it's like, oh, thank goodness, we've walked through all these countries. There's actually an attraction here. That's kind of how I felt the very, very first time I went. Yeah. But I honestly think it's worth riding, even if there were 1,000 attractions. Like, even if this ride were in Magic Kingdom, I would say it's worth riding. I think it's beautiful. I think the scenes are wonderful. I like the little party scene with the pinata and Donald. And, of course, now with the audio animatronics at the end.
I know. It's grown on me a lot. And I do enjoy, very much so, the new audio animatronics at the end. But I think just the old sets and all the screens, aside from that last scene with them and the very first, like, 2 minutes of the ride where you're sailing by the pyramid outside, the rest of it I could do without.
Okay, I can see that. I do think of you every single time now because of the guy with the tray, and he's totally not making eye contact.
No, and there's two of them. I noticed this time both of the ones, they're not even looking at him.
Oh, and the knives. The guy with the knives. So not looking.
Well, there's
at
the guy with the knife, and then there's the guy that opens the thing, and there's a duck inside. And he, like, does this little number, and he's not even looking at him.
No, he just, like, spins his head in circles real quick, and then that's it.
All right, now let's move on over to Disney's Hollywood Studios. A park that is shrinking, yet growing every day.
I don't know that there's anything here.
Yeah, I only had one thing listed because I feel like there are so few things at that park right now where how could possibly anything be underrated? Like, everyone does everything and they're still done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that's harsh, but it's just kind of reality right now.
Yeah.
All that to say, the one thing that I think people need to stop and pay attention to because it's worth seeing is the streetmosphere that takes place on Sunset Boulevard. It's been the same characters for, I mean, years, maybe since park opening. I don't even know. But I see the same actors there. And we stopped to watch it the last time I was there, and it was making me seriously chuckle out loud a lot. They did.
Chuckle out loud. C-O-L.
It was making me chuckle out loud. But it really was. Like, I was in stitches. And I think a lot of people just walk by. I mean, I've been guilty of it a billion times. Just walk right by them, and oh, they're doing some sort of show on the street. But it's all improvised, and it just really makes, I mean, most of it's improvised, and it just really makes you appreciate the talents of these people. Like, the last time we were walking through, they were doing the game where, like, they each walk up to the microphone and tell some sort of joke, and then based on audience response, someone gets eliminated each round, like the person who got the weakest response. And so the last time they went to one of the guys from the crowd and they said, tell us anything you've got with you that we can make jokes about. And so he talked about his Fitbit. So they all had to give a joke about a Fitbit. So the
Is
first,
it that all, like, the Fitbit walks into a bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's so good.
You've seen it with the Fitbit specifically?
No, but I'm saying I've seen them play that game.
Yeah. So the girl with the big old glasses who's kind of dorky, you know, I forget her name, but she goes up there and she was cracking me up because she couldn't think of anything to say. So she was, you know, like vamping for time. She's like, walks into the bar and the bartender's like, You can't be at this bar. And she did that for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. I was rolling just because she could not figure out what to say. So finally, she stepped away from the microphone. And another guy immediately came to the microphone. He's like, yeah, so Fitbar walked into the bar. And the guy said, you can't come here. And the Fitbit said, it's my right and I will exercise it. And everybody's like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, they do that. Because the time I saw it, they were asking people, like, what's your job? And so it'd be like a teacher. Well, what's something you use as a teacher? Like a pencil. And then they all had to do it. A pencil walks into a bar and the bartender says, we don't serve pencils here. You know, what's the point? Or something like that.
Oh, gosh. They were just making me laugh so hard.
But it was all improvised, like you said. You got to be very much on top of it. And then I saw another one, too, where they are all in a circle and it's like, where are you from? And they just like randomly run out, not the people watching, but randomly like two people walking by and like ask them where they're from. And then they have to say something. I forget something to the effect of where they were from. And so you just don't know because, you know, people are like from Texas or I'm from, you know, Ireland.
Sheboygan.
Something like that. And so I was very impressed with the improv skills that they had to possess. And then to still stay in character while doing improv as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Agreed. I think another underrated experience at Hollywood Studios is One Man's Dream. Now, we, all three of us, appreciate the history of Walt Disney, the company, the theme parks, all that. Your average guest, unfortunately, I think sometimes that gets lost on them. And when you're in a theme park and you're like, why do I want to go through a museum, which, you know, that's essentially kind of what it is. But I think it's so important, and it only, you know, increases your love for Walt Disney, the man, and what he has meant to the world in general. So,
well, they've basically ransacked the place, and it's just a shell of its former self because the stupid meet and greet is at the end, and then they got previews for every upcoming Disney movie playing in the theater, and it's just like, why would you even do this?
That is true, but I still hang on to the fact that there is still a little bit about Walt himself there. So,
and the walkthrough has done a good job of highlighting the things that when you see them, you're going to say, oh, like the audio animatronic, for instance, is like, oh, okay, because we saw those on the rides we've ridden today. Well, not necessarily Hollywood Studio. Well, no, yeah, great movie ride.
I'd be interested to do a survey and see how many people actually do put that together.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, they've kept it to the parts where you can connect it to something you've done at Walt Disney World, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't think of that one.
I would say it's a great movie ride.
In general? Oh, okay.
I feel like it's underrated. I feel like even, you know, Derek cast shadow on it.
I think,
isn't that what the kids are saying these days? They cast shadow on it.
Shade?
Yeah.
Throw shade.
I was being facetious. But yeah, I do, and I enjoy that attraction for its kitschiness. And I mean,
the park before it started closing a lot of things, yeah, it was underrated. Now that there's only like 4 things to do in the whole park, I don't think it's really underrated anymore.
Even more so.
No, and especially without the hat there. Like, it was kind of hidden there for a while. Now that the hat's gone, the theater is so prominently featured that people just, like, are drawn to it without knowing whatever's there.
People don't generally tend to, I don't know, it's not like a must-do on people's list. I think it is a must-do when you're at the studios.
I can see that. It definitely, it's not appreciated for what it is. I'll agree with that. It's not appreciated in that it really is a feat to have all those animatronics, for one.
Yeah.
And for two, I don't really know where the ride is. Like, because right behind it is the Pixar place.
It's two big old sound stages that go that way.
Yeah.
To the left. They veer off to the left.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the theater, that way.
To the left. Yeah, it's a lot of real estate, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And yet it's crammed right in there. Okay, so now moving on to Animal Kingdom, our final park. Underrated experiences in DAK.
If you're going to do any trail for the animals, my pick would be Maharaja Jungle Trek, which is underrated, first of all, because it's back there behind Cali River Rapids, and it is a dead end. Like, that's the last thing you get to in that path. So if you don't even walk back there, you're never going to see this place. But I also think it's underrated because it is the most beautiful of all the trails. And it's got the tiger, sure, and it's got some other cool animals. But even if you don't see the animals, which I will admit is a possibility, it is beautifully themed. It's got the murals, hand-painted murals, almost like you would see in India and those parts of the world. You've got the prayer flags hanging up. Gosh, it's just so beautifully themed. And there was no real... there's a reason that Disney did that, but it wasn't necessary for them to do that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to echo that and say the trails up by the Tree of Life. What is that, the Oasis Garden? Is that what they call that?
It's the Tree of Life Trail.
Oh, that's just what it is? Okay.
Is it? Well, no. Are you talking about the ones with the kangaroos?
Okay, like when you are walking towards the Tree of Life and then you turn left towards Africa, and then there's some trails there that you can veer off and go pretty far, not pretty far, but far enough in. It's not just off the beaten path.
Right,
yeah.
But you get in there and it's really quiet. You have nice views of the Tree of Life, and sometimes there's animals out there, sometimes there's not, but they kind of dead end. So you get a lot of people that walk back there and they're like, oh, and they just turn back around and go back out. But if you know what's back there and you can just kind of enjoy the view for a little bit.
Yeah, there's a thing called the Discovery Island Trail. That's where the kangaroos are. That might be what you're talking about.
Maybe so, yeah. Except I don't ever recall seeing kangaroos. But
well, to be honest, I walked on the trail that advertised kangaroos and I didn't see them there. But technically,
I saw kangaroos before. They're
there. Okay, well, there you go.
They're laying out there.
But it's a different perspective of the Tree of Life.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. It's kind of funny that when you think of, like, if you had never been to Animal Kingdom, my guess would be one of the first things you imagine is trails like this, being able to see the animals. And I think they tend to be some of the most underrated things in the entire park.
Yeah. You two are going to disagree with me on this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think that the train to Rafiki's Planet Watch is underrated. Now, Rafiki's Planet Watch is not underrated. It is what you expect it to be. But I think the train ride out there is kind of fun. It's fun in that it's kind of rickety and it's just a fun experience to be on that kind of a train. But then it's underrated in that you get to see some of the backstage, behind the scenes things as far as the animal pens go.
What do you see?
You see like where the rhino... I always see rhinos back there in their house.
Oh, I forgot about the house. I'm just picturing that one building where you can always see, like, the cast members, they park their Ford Taurus out there because that's where they work, you know?
Yeah, that's terrible.
But no, I forget about the long house with all the pins, I guess.
So, if you like trains, it's a fun train ride.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. I know this is really new, so maybe it just hasn't had time to be fully appreciated, but Harambe Market... I mean, we've gushed about it a ton on our show because we all really enjoy it. But I do think there's a tendency to go straight for, like, Flame Tree Barbecue because it's right there when you walk in. Or, like, Pizzafari and Restaurantosaurus because they're indoors. But Harambe Market should not be overlooked. Even if you just walk around and take in the cool murals and the hand-painted stuff and the little notice board and the little motorcycle. But even beyond that, everything... Well, I didn't love the vegetable stack. But everything else I've ordered has been terrific. The chicken tikka masala, the corn dog, the ribs always look really good to me.
I did enjoy the vegetable stack.
I remember.
It's nice. I also think that some of the character experiences at Animal Kingdom are underrated. Simply because you can meet some of the characters, some rare characters for one, but then you also can meet them in different costumes than perhaps you will find elsewhere. So sometimes you can find Mickey and Minnie in their safari costumes, or you can meet Baloo and Louie. Flick is out. Timon.
Russell and Doug are always out now.
Yes. Turk is out from time to time. So these are characters you're probably not going to find necessarily at other parks.
I'm going to throw out a dinosaur. I don't think it gets the attention it should to be as high quality caliber of a thrill ride as it is. I think just because it's so unassuming and tucked in the back, and people a lot of times just don't even know about it. So I don't know if that categorizes as underrated or just unsung heroes, but I would put it up there with one of my favorites. I mean, there are people that love it for sure, but you don't hear a lot about it. Like, ooh, you gotta do dinosaur. Even on like the Disney vacation videos and things, there's not a lot of attention given to it. And you would think there would be with how much stuff there is.
Okay, when you put it that way, because like you, it's one of my favorite attractions in Walt Disney World. But I guess you're right. Like, you don't see it come up in a lot of people's lists.
I'm surprised that Chester and Hester is not on one of y'all's.
No.
I mean, I could make the case for Primeval World, but
am I chipping away at the facade for you?
No,
never.
Listen, I have a great time on Primeval World, but I fully understand what it is. And how it doesn't really fit the theme. But I still enjoy myself on it.
Fit the resort.
Well, that's true. The only other thing I had on my list is the brand new Tree of Life Awakening show. I still don't see a lot of people talking about this, but it's super impressive and really beautiful. And like, it's just a good way to end your day at Animal Kingdom. And the fact that they do four different shows, I think is really cool. Like, there's like a repeatability factor, I guess. You know, if you see one one night, come back another night and see another one. It's impressive. I really think it is.
All right, we're going to wrap up this segment by talking about underrated experiences at Disney Springs and resorts.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Oh, I guess this is Epcot. I'm an idiot. I don't know why I put it.
Christmas Tree Trail.
Yes. No, honestly, I think the Flower and Garden Festival in general is really underrated. Everyone talks about food and wine. And of course, this year, everyone was talking about Festival of the Arts. But Flower and Garden Festival, I feel like no one really goes to Epcot for this reason. People happen to be there while it's going on, but they don't make a special trip. But now with the food booths offering really good selections, and the fact that it is beautiful that time of year. Like, I love the little, they're not little, they're huge landscapes of flower dioramas. And then the topiaries. It's a great time of year to go.
Absolutely agreed.
Don't forget the tea garden.
And a tea garden, of course.
Yes!
Sorry, that was totally Epcot. I don't know why I put it as miscellaneous, but... Now, one that's really miscellaneous, and we've talked about them before, but the quick service restaurants at the Magic Kingdom resorts. Things like Captain Cook's and Contempo Cafe. You might think those are just for people who stay at those resorts to get a quick bite before they go into the park. Oh no! They are delicious.
They're for the people.
They are for the people. And the prices are good. You get 20% off if you're an annual pass holder. And they're made to order, as opposed to so many of the quick service restaurants in the parks. So you're going to wait a few minutes longer, but it is oh so worth it.
Yeah, I agree. At Disney Springs, I would say Town Center. And I say this knowing that there are a lot of haters of Town Center, and I get it. I'm not a big fan of the corporate kind of outlet-y generic non-Disney related brand things going there. I mean, it's a glorified outlet area. That's what it feels like. But it is really super elegant and nice. And the architecture is wonderful. And there's lots of wood, especially on the second story. There's the little balconies and the lighting and the lanterns. And I like, really do like that area. And then all the fountains in between. I don't know what the future of it looks like, but I like the area for those reasons.
I do too. It feels, I don't know what it feels like, but with the music they've got going, like, it always feels like, this is such an outdated term, but like a happening place where everybody's come to hang out in this downtown Florida city.
But it's also kind of laid back and swanky feeling. Like, I'm out on the town and I'm not buying anything, but
no, sir.
Yeah.
On my list, underrated is non-traditional forms of transportation. So rather than taking the bus or like the main thoroughfare, I would say taking a boat, particularly a small boat, not necessarily the ferries. But yeah, I think people miss out on experiences by doing that. For instance, Derek and I, with his parents, took a smaller boat from the Magic Kingdom to the Polynesian.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where we went?
Yep.
Okay. And I have discussed my venture from the Port Orleans Riverside on a small boat to what is now Disney Springs. So there's ways to travel that's not a bus. That maybe it'll take you a little bit longer, but it's going to give you a different kind of experience.
Yeah.
It's so pleasant.
I agree with that.
I love it. Speaking of, tell me if you disagree with this or not, but I had two resorts written down, and one of them you can get to by boat from Magic Kingdom. I'm talking about Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yes.
And I think they're underrated because I can see people going to the monorail resorts because you're already on the monorail. But I don't really see people taking a special trip to Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge because I'm sure in their minds it's just like, well, we're not staying there. There's really nothing there to offer. But not only are they beautiful resorts, but there's a lot to do there. So Wilderness Lodge, you know, we love Whispering Canyon. You can get the Magic Cookie Bar.
Mm.
Just going out back and seeing the beautiful waterfall, like, it's such a gorgeous resort. But then Animal Kingdom Lodge, I mean, two of those restaurants made our top 8, you know, restaurants because they're that delicious. And the fact that you can actually see animals, like, I think I talked about this on the show, but at night we went out back after our meal at Boma, and anyone who's there can just pick up the night vision goggles, and there are actually cast members out there talking to you about what animals you're seeing, and they're just sitting out there in their natural habitat 20 feet from you. And this is all at a resort. It's free. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say natural habitat. Not a lot of giraffes roaming around Florida, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay, yes, you're right. But I meant like doing what they would do at this time of night naturally, like sleep.
Gotcha.
That's what I meant. But anyway, like the fact that you can do that at a resort, I think people overlook it, but it's open to anyone.
And especially I love going with first timers who've never been to those resorts, because just walking into the lobbies of both of those is such an overwhelming experience. Like, you can just see it on people's faces, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing and mm-hmm. huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, good. I was afraid you'd be like, it's an entire resort. How's it underrated?
No, I can agree with that. I absolutely agree with that.
Okay. I only had one thing left. And this is something that I don't think any of the three of us have done. So it's a little questionable. But no one talks about Yeehaw Bob Jackson at Port Orleans Riverside, the guy who plays the piano.
I know someone who does.
Who? Oh, me?
His name rhymes with Moo, and he likes Wetzel's Pretzels.
Oh, does Lou like him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see, this is
the thing. He's had him on the show.
Oh, okay. See, this is the thing. Everyone who does talk about him has such good things to say. Like John and Lindsay, who are on our show, John saw him a while back and he couldn't believe how entertaining the guy was. And that's what I've heard. And yet people who haven't seen, like, you just don't hear this guy be talked about ever. But the people who have seen him rave about him. So I've made a point on my next trip down there to go see him. He just entertains at the lounge in Port Orleans Riverside.
Yeah.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's been there for years. So.
And 10 points to you for figuring out Lou off of that. I had no idea. Like. All right. Well, that concludes our underrated experiences at the Walt Disney World Resort. We would like to hear from you and what you think is an underrated experience. Perhaps a little gem that not a lot of people know about or talk about, but you think is just divine. Send us an email, madchatters at hotmail.com. Is that it? I don't know.
AOL.
Oh, AOL.com. My bad.
Yeah, you said just divine. It makes me think someone's going to send us an email saying that divine is underrated.
There we go. Yes.
IMUS.
Or IMUS. We are on AIM.
AIM.
Don't forget to check out our MySpace page. We've got our top five friends listed there in order.
It plays the entire Magic Kingdom entrance loop while you randomly look at our information.
In a MIDI format.
Yeah. Oh, we just went like in a full circle tour of the early 2000s.
No, but really, tweet us, Facebook us, tell us your opinions, because I'm going to speak for all of us, but me in particular, I always like to hear from people and what they think. So
absolutely.
Let us know.
That email address is comments@madchatters.net. And of course, go visit our Munch Madness page. We're down to the flavorful four. So place your votes. Make it count. We'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now.